Hello, and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. Today is Thursday, February 14, 2008. That would make it Valentine's Day. And I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt. On today's show, we're going to be talking about some news that we have for you regarding events and a bunch of things that are happening in the New England area. Plus, we're going to be talking about What the Miniatures. And we're going to talk about Babylon 5, A Call to Arms, Stopping Production. But first, I just want to welcome everyone to the show. This is episode 31 of our podcast. We've been going at this for over a year, and today is a very special day for many people because it is Valentine's Day. And whether you are with someone or you're not, it's a day that you can have a lot of fun because you can either spend time with someone that you love, or you can do a whole anti-Valentine's Day kind of thing. You can hang out with friends, you can game, listen to the podcast, maybe work on some new models, maybe, you know, you have to work or whatever, make a little cash, and save up, do something fun for yourself. I know anti-Valentine's Day kind of stuff is a lot of fun for a lot of people. It's very popular with teens and also with young adults, and you guys are our target audience, and you're who all the game companies kind of target to get out there and play the games. A lot of great stuff you can do for anti-Valentine's or even for Valentine's Day, so I'm sure people have something special, and I know I do for my fiancé and I. We're going to be having a lot of great things going on, and I'm just going to actually get right into it and keep on going with the show because it is Valentine's Day, but that doesn't mean everything will be about love. In fact, today we're going to be talking about all sorts of mayhem and destruction, and what game wouldn't be complete with a lot of death and violence in it? Obviously, I'm talking about all sorts of different games, but we're going to start off with some news, and you can be sure that it will be a little bloody. First up in our news, we have a whole series of event countdowns available on our website, which is wargamingforums.com. And if you head on over there in our sidebar at the right, you will see a whole section called Countdowns. And oddly enough, it counts down how many days until a certain event happens. And we use this to tell you about upcoming events, and we have things listed for, you know, a couple days from now, all the way through the end of the year. We have all sorts of big cons and, you know, grand tourneys and games day and all sorts of things like that happening. But coming up in 3 more days will be a Magic City Champs qualifier happening at Battleground Games. That's down in Abington, Massachusetts. So you can find out more information and directions and so forth by going to battlegroundgames.com. And if you're a Magic player or just a fan of the game Magic, this is actually a really cool event to go to. It's going to be a booster draft tournament. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's Saturday the 16th. And Battleground has done this before. They did the qualifiers before for the Magic City Champs. And it was a big event with a lot of people coming in. It was a lot of fun. Magic doing the City Champs at these local gaming stores has been a relatively new thing. And it's a lot of fun because City Champs just lets, you know, players compete locally, and this is something that they've only been doing in the United States and also in Canada. It's just kind of a way to get people together and play and start you on the path to go into the Road to the Worlds. They do this from, you know, November of, like, last year all the way through February, so this is going to be the end of it, and it's going to be obviously for the Boston City Champs. So how the event works is that the top two players at the event of the entire season of qualifiers are going to get an invitation to go to the Boston City Champs where they'll be able to play. So it's important for you to go to qualifiers like this one at Battleground Games. And if you want to play in the Battleground Games tournament, you have to pay $15 to get in. And there's going to be prizes given to the top three placers. And it's going to be obviously a monetary amount, some sort of store credit. And that's going to be based on how many people actually show up. So if you play Magic, go. Make sure you get your friends and have them come. The more people the merrier, the more fun you'll have, and the better the prizes will be. Also coming up is something that has me very happy, and it's the Vampire Counts release. That's not going to be happening for 16 more days, because that happens in March of this year. And we've talked a lot about the Vampire Counts already on the podcast and on our blog. So I'm really not going to spend much more time about it now, because there's not a whole lot new stuff to say other than they're coming. So bear your fangs, get your crucifixes out, get ready to stake some vampires, bite some necks, and wreck some havoc and mayhem with your brand new Vampire Counts. The models are great, and if you head back and check our podcast from last week, especially our enhanced one, you're going to be able to see all sorts of picks that we shared from the newer stuff that they have released. And Games Workshop has done a great job of showing us sneak peeks and photos and behind the scenes and all kinds of great stuff. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. Also, coming up is every Thursday at Battleground Games, again in Abington. They hold Halo 3 tournaments on their Xbox 360s. They have four of them set up in a brand new gaming center. They do this every Thursday night, and it's a lot of fun. I've gone and played Halo down at Battleground lots of times. I'm not really good, and once I got the gaming center, it was my first time of ever playing any Halo game. So I started off with Halo 3, and naturally I'm not that good. I'm still a noob at it, but they do these tournaments every Thursday. They happen at 6 o'clock. You pay $10, you get in, and they give all sorts of prizes in terms of store credit, depending on how many people play. From 4 to 16 people, it starts off with $20 store credit for the first place, all the way up to $40 store credit for first place if you get 16 people. And the more people you get, the more they can give, but also the more they can give to each person. So if you get anywhere from 13 to 16 people playing, they give store credit to the top three finishers. If it's anywhere from 6 to 12 people playing, they give store credit to the top two. And if it's just, you know, 4 or 5, it's just the top person playing who gets it. But it's a lot of fun. And the smaller tournaments, you know, the 4 to 8 people, they do an hour-long Slayer match, and then they just do the store credit for the winner. If it's 9 to 16, they do two 50-minute Slayer matches, and they try to divide the pods up as evenly as possible. So, you know, that way it's going to be people of equal skill set, more or less. And then once the two pods are done, they take the top places from each pod, they do a playoff round, and then the playoff winner is the first person to get 25 kills, and then the other two placements are just decided based on the whole kill count and the number of people in the tourney. It's a lot of fun, and if you're interested in the Halo 3 tournament, I suggest you head on over to BattlegroundGames.com, of course, or you can just give the store a call. You can talk to anyone who works there. They are all knowledgeable people. You're most likely to talk to Derek or Chase or Beth today, and anyone can answer your questions about the tournament, the games, and whatnot, and you're thinking, well, I'd love to call, but what is their phone number? So you can reach them at 781-261-9669, or you can email them at contact@battlegroundgames.com. They have a fax number too, but telephone or in person is usually the best, but if you're listening to the podcast, clearly you're not in the store, so phone or email would have to do for you. Or if you go to their website, you can get the address of 1501 Bedford Street, and then you can just MapQuest how to get there from your house if you've never been there before. And if you have, then you know how to get there again. Also up in news, we kind of talked about this last time, and we're going to just talk about it a little bit more. It's the fact that we have a new banner logo coming up. It was created by my friend Shane, rather, and he's done a good job with it. It's an interesting logo, and we invited all of you last time who listened to give feedback and suggestions about the logo. Things you want changed, ideas you'd like to see in it, and so forth, and that we would give credit to you by using your name or your online moniker, either in our podcast or our blog, and say, hey, so-and-so gave a great idea, it was really cool. And we're taking all the good ideas from your suggestions and incorporating them into the logo. And the reason why we're talking about this again is that there's been some changes made to the logo based on your comments, and the most common thought that you had was that there was a lot of extra stuff in the graphic. In particular, people didn't seem to care too much for the parentheses that were in there, and the parentheses, there was about a half a dozen of them or so, existed to kind of show that there was sound going out of the headphones and into the headphones and here and there and so forth. But it was a lot of extra stuff that didn't really need to be there. So we're going to keep this contest going on, and we ask you to continue sending in your feedback and comments. And as I said, we take the good ones from those, and we're going to implement them and give you credit for them. So be sure to give a name or, you know, like a fake name that you use online or something that you want to be known by for us to use. And you can find out how to do that by going to our blog, and you can, there's more details there. But basically, if you just email us at cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. You can send us the information, your ideas, and again, give us your name and so forth, and we'll keep that going. We're probably only going to do it for one more week and try to get that finalized, because we want to get a whole new design going on for our blog, and The header graphic is just a side of it, and we're hoping to get a couple header graphics going. So after this one's done, we're hoping to do another one that's going to be really cool, showing off our podcasting angle, but also more clearly showing the gaming aspect that we do here. So you're going to be seeing more on that coming up in future podcasts, and more coming up on that in future weeks here on the blog. Also, you can now pre-order No Quarter number 17. I know a lot of you are big fans of the Privateer Press company and all the games they make from, War Machine and Hordes, of course, and the Iron Kingdoms RPG, and they're going to be coming out with that new Monsterpocalypse collectible minigame. And No Quarter is a great way to find out all about the games you like to play. And No Quarter number 17 has all sorts of great stuff coming up. They have, of course, more information on Monsterpocalypse. They get stuff about making terrain and terrain building party. They got a whole little thing about the new Formula P3 hobby tools that they're going to be coming out, because they're going to show you how to assemble a Rhinodon with them. And they're going to be talking about some more of the whole War Machine Legends setup. And, of course, they're going to give you some ink devoted to Hordes. They're going to be talking about tactics for using your enemy, and just how you can get the best out of those powers from your War Beasts and Warlocks. And you can definitely pre-order those now, so make sure you head on over to your local gaming store and say, "Hey, I want to get a copy of No Quarter Issue 17. You can be sure I will be talking to Derek, owner of BattlegroundGames.com, and saying, "Hey, Derek, can you get me a copy of No Quarter? I need Issue 17. It's going to be coming out soon." I'm a big fan of No Quarter, and also, of course, of White Dwarf by Games Workshop. And I try to make sure that I get those every week by going to my local gaming store. So please go to your local gaming store, support your friendly local gaming store, and get your copy of No Quarter 17. It'll be coming out soon. At this point in the show, we're going to be moving on to one of my favorite segments. It is the Music to Game By segment. And this week, we have a very special treat for you. It's some Podsafe music by Deathcap for Cutie. I know a lot of gamers out there listen to all sorts of emo and alternative and metal and, you know, rock kind of music. I try to dabble in a little of everything. And if you head on over to any sort of clothing stores in the mall, like Hot Topic or whatnot, you're going to see all sorts of t-shirts for bands, especially Death Cab for Cutie. And we're pleased to be able to share their song title and registration with you. So we're going to be starting that segment of the show now. And then when it's done, we will be back. So hope you enjoy it. Thanks.
Warning. Coming up next is the Music to Game By segment in the CWF Gamecast. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this song.
No. like it wasn't there at all. And here I rest, where disappointment and regret collide, lying awake at night, or all night, when I'm lying awake at night. Well,
welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed listening to Title and Registration by Death Cab for Cutie. It's kind of a fun little poppy alternate kind of song. It has a good beat going to it, gets your foot tapping, and just a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoyed it. And now that we are done with our Music to Game By segment, we are actually moving on to a little segment right here to talk about a brand new miniatures company. And it's a small mom and pop affair. The name of the company is called What the Miniatures, and they're actually part of the whole Battleground Weird War 2 system. The people who are doing BGWW2, Brian and Amy Cottrell, have decided that, you know, there's not enough models out there just for the whole Weird War setup, and they wanted to fix that by creating models that you haven't seen anywhere else so that you can use them in BG Weird War 2. And they decided the best way to do that was create their own company, make the models, and sell them. So they have gone ahead and done just that. The first two models that they have created are really cool. It's two different poses of a certain unit from World War II, rather, and it's called Flagerfaust. And I'm sure I ruined that, and you would think, being German myself with my German heritage, I'd be able to pronounce it correctly. Fliegerfaust might be a better pronunciation, but Brian, who has kind of spearheaded the project from what I've seen, has done a great job of keeping everyone informed about these models. They contracted a sculptor that they went through a lot of people, actually, and contracted him from the miniatures page, and they got them casted, and they look really cool, and they have actually gone forward, and they're going to be making other models, too. And you might be interested in what these models look like. Well, the Fliegerfaust, from what I understand, and I didn't actually know anything about these until I had saw them on their official website, thought to myself, oh, they're an actual real World War II weapon and unit, so let me go look it up. I hopped on the Wikipedia, and turns out what these are infantry people who have rocket launchers that are shoulder mounted to take out enemy aircraft. So they could be, you know, walking down the road, hanging out in the forest or on a hilltop, see an Allied bomber coming in, saying, hey, look, there's a B-17 or whatever. Bam! And launch off the rockets. These are really cool, though, because it's not a single rocket. It's kind of like, I think, 8 or 9 tubes bundled together. So they can kind of do, like, multi-launching of these rockets to take out the Allied aircraft. And the models are really, really cool. There's two different poses, as I had said. One of them shows a guy, he's kind of like walking. You know, you can picture him walking to where he needs to set up. He's trying to get that right spot so he can go and take down a plane. And then there's another one of a guy holding the rocket launcher on his shoulder. It's kind of pointing straight ahead, and it looks like he's getting ready to take down something. You know, take out those enemy planes or whatnot. These are really inexpensive, I think, to buy. They're selling them for just $3.50, plus whatever the actual shipping is that it takes for you to get them. So if you need them, like, overnight, you can get overnight shipping, and that'd be, you know, obviously more expensive. But if you don't mind waiting a while, you can go with a less expensive shipping route and save yourself a lot of money. These are 28mm versions, but I do have to say, after these were sculpted and cast and basically done, and the models look incredible, but after all that was done, that a decision was made for this whole line of models to be redone in 34mm scale. And I myself have some concerns about that. The models look really, really good, and I think people should definitely buy them. It's a good price. You can use them all sorts of things. 28mm scale is in the range of most common miniature games, so you could fit them in with stuff, and if nothing else, they just look really cool. But the idea to switch over to 34mm, as I said, concerns me. You have these 28mm versions that have just been put out, and I gotta say that when I say they're put out, they've actually kind of been leaked, more so. They're not officially ready for sale. So if you do want to buy them, you can, and you should email amylopin@gmail.com, and you have to pay with PayPal too, but she can take care of the orders for you. But officially, the models aren't, you know, out there, and the company's not all set up because the website's not even done or whatever for them. But the whole 34mm scale thing, to get back to that, concerns me because, you know, they have these 28mm versions out first. So I'm wondering if, you know, by switching to the 34mm, are they just going to say, okay, you know, we have these 28mm ones, so buy them, but will customers think, well, why am I going to buy 28mm ones if there's a 34mm scale coming out? Plus, these Flagerfausts are actually going to be re-sculpted and remolded into the new scale, which is good because people who are going to be buying the new scale can just have them in that scale. But if you're thinking of buying them in the smaller scale, you're going to maybe think twice about it. So I wonder how well these actually sell. And if these don't sell well, I'm concerned that the money won't exist and the desire perhaps won't exist to do all of the other figures that they want to do. Because, you know, if you put out a product and it's not doing well, it's kind of hard to justify putting out additional product after that, after you did all that expensive time and money and whatnot. Also, I'm kind of concerned that the 34mm scale is not going to fit into existing collections of longtime gamers. A lot of longtime gamers, from what I understand, have the smaller scale. They do the whole 25 to 32mm, I believe it is, range. So 28 is a good size for that. And if people have a lot of figures and product for that setup and that scale, they're not going to be as willing to jump in right away to a 34mm scale. A lot of other companies who do the whole World War II and Weird War figs, from what I understand, are also 28mm scale. So basically, it's going to kind of alienate all of that, because gamers will either have to use all the stuff from the What the Miniatures range, or the stuff from the other companies. They're going to have to choose, do I want 28 or 34mm? And it's a hard choice to make. If people do the 34mm, they're going to actually have to just stick with the What the Miniatures products. And I know that Brian and Amy want to do a whole broad range of figures in the whole new setup of 34mm. And they just kind of want to do all that and get it going and allow you to have a whole diverse range of stuff that you can get, so you can just get everything you need from them. And it makes sense. They're the ones doing the BG World War II game, and it makes sense that they would want to provide product for their gamers and people who play this game so that it's easier. And that would help new people get into it. Instead of searching for, you know, one company out of, you know, like 40 million that you can find online or whatever, you can just go right here to the game's website and you say, oh, look, they have the models I need. And that's what people do with other games, like Privateer Press. Would you be playing War Machine as often if you had to get your models from independent people? If Privateer Press didn't make those models, and it was a lot harder for you to find the models you wanted, how likely would you be to play? And would it be as big of a success in the mainstream as it is? Or look at Games Workshop with 40K and Fantasy, Lord of the Rings even. If they didn't make their models, what would happen? And I think you'd see a big downturn in activity and participation and purchasing of product for those games. And perhaps those games wouldn't do as well. So I think it is a great move in that regard for Brian and Amy to do. And also, I totally understand why they made the decision. They wanted to change over to this because a lot of the vehicles that the gamers use for BG World War II fit into the 1/48th to 1/50th scale and go into 38mm, or 34mm rather, for the infantry and other foot sloggers. It's just going to look better aesthetically with the 1/48th or 1/50th scale vehicles. So it just kind of fills that in. And I definitely think that the controls can be very successful here with their product range. But in order to do that, they have to make sure that they fill a niche with high-quality, desirable, and useful product. And 34mm is, I think, going to definitely be filling a niche. It's certainly going to be desirable for gamers, especially for people who are new to the system. It's clearly going to be high-quality based on what we've seen from the Fliegerfaust, which are 28mm. You can tell they're high quality, and they're definitely going to be useful, because if you're playing these games, you're going to want kind of cool and odd things, and that's what the game is. It's fun, it's odd, and so forth. And they've gone all out with the Fliegerfaust, and they're getting them professionally painted so you can see how cool they look painted up and stuff on the web. And, you know, we'll have those for you to look at and stuff too. But the game's clearly a success because it was a Protocon winner for Protocon 9, Best Minis Game. So clearly it's a good game and people play it. There's a lot of activity with that. They make the rounds at a lot of the cons. So there's going to be a lot of success with that. And these 28mm Fliegerfaust really do look awesome. And I know I've kind of bashed the whole 34mm scale thing, but you have to separate it. And I've tried to do that. One of my concerns is with the scale aspect. But the models themselves are really, really good. And you can buy these models now. They're $3.50 plus whatever your actual shipping is. And that's a really good price. I, you know, challenge you to find models that look as good as these, that are as high quality and at as low a price, because I don't think you can do it. They just look really good. And if you head on over to our blog, you know, wargamingforums.com, you look in our show notes for today's podcast, you're going to see that we have a link to a little promo/review that we did on the blog in an article about these figs. And the reason why I want you to go there is because we have pictures of them. It's kind of a progression of concept to completed product, and we show the completed greens, which are what the models look like after they've been sculpted but before they get cast, and then what it looks like in its metallic glory once it's done. And they're just really, really cool, and they fit into a slotted base, and they're just really cool models. It's all metal. I believe it's pewter, actually, but it's all metal, so it's really neat. And I don't think you have to assemble anything. I think it's one piece altogether. If anything, you might have to glue on the gun. I'm not positive about that because I don't own one, but I would actually seriously consider buying one, if not both, of these figures, even though I don't play the game, just to have them because they're really cool and the price is really good. And well, I've kind of droned on enough about that, and I didn't think I was going to spend as much time talking about these figures, but they're just really, really good. So I strongly recommend that you head over and get them. You can go to the official website, which is BattlegroundWeirdWarII.com, or email Amy Lopan, L-O-P-A-N, at gmail.com, and you can order them there. It's a lot of fun, and you should definitely head over to the official website because they have all the rules, which are free, for the game and all sorts of stuff about it. And the message boards are really good, and they're just really, really good people, and they deserve all sorts of success. So please help them out and buy some of the product. Starting last week, we had gone ahead and shared promos of other podcasts with you. I said that we would share promos of, you know, podcasts, either if they were gaming or if they just happened to be New England podcasts, and that we would talk about other blogs and stuff if it related to gaming or were just local to this area, because here at the CWF Gamecast, we try to promote local talent, whether it's musicians, as we've done with Matt Searles, and Matthew Ebel, or with other podcasts, as we had did before with Boston Behind the Scenes. And this week, we're continuing in that trend by sharing a promo for you for the Comedy Forecast. And Comedy Forecast is a great podcast here in New England. They've been voted the best comedy podcast 2 years in a row. They won the Podcast Peer Awards for that category in 2006 and the summer of 07. And it's just a lot of fun. What they do is they give you some comedy in 4 minutes or less. And it could be something random, but all sorts of different things. You never really know what you're going to get. But it's a lot of fun. And by doing the shorter show with the, you know, just 4 minutes or whatever, they can do more of them. I believe the last episode that they've done is episode 133, which is a huge number, and they did that yesterday, actually, and it's just a lot of fun, so you should definitely listen to it, because I think you're going to enjoy it, even if you're not someone who's into comedy. But come on, who's not into comedy? The podcast is done by Clinton, and Clinton's a great guy, and he's very active with the New England Podcasting Group, and so I hope you enjoy the promo, which we're going to share for you right now, and then after the promo, we will be back to talk about some incredible news regarding to Mongoose Publishing and Babylon 5, A Call to Arms. So check out the promo for Comedy Forecast, and then we'll be right back.
What is Comedy Forecast? Sometimes it's a monologue.
I actually haven't done any of my voice work since episode 15. Back then, I was contacted by an offshore production house. and they showed me how they could do my voice cheaper than I could do it. Sometimes it's a sketch.
Dear class of... what year is this? Really? How time flies when you're increasing tuition.
And sometimes you just hear this sound. To truly know what Comedy Forecast is, you have to listen to it. That's Comedy, the number 4, C-A-S-T. Search for it on iTunes, look for it on Podcast Pickle, discover it on Blueberry, and even check out the website comedyforecast.com.
Well, I always get a kick out of listening to that promo, because Clinton is just a really, really funny guy, and, you know, especially that middle one where he's doing that little skit about raising tuition and stuff. I just always think about it because, you know, I was a college grad not too long ago, and they were always raising the cost of tuition, and, you know, you can only thing you can do about it is pay the tuition and laugh about it, but that podcast is just a lot of fun. It's very funny, so please head on over and check it out. The website for it, again, is comedy, the number 4, cast.com. And they do new podcasts all the time. It's a lot of fun. Very, very funny. Clinton does a great job. And he, you know, definitely deserves all those awards that he wins for the podcast. It is far better and superior than we will ever be here. But we're okay with that because there's a role for everyone. And his is to shine way high and be very bright. And it's just great. So be sure to head on over and listen to that. But now we're going to be talking about some happy and sad news all at once. And it is the fact that Babylon 5, A Call to Arms, is going to be ceasing production of its miniatures line. Mongoose has recently shared that news with everyone through their website. And in case you don't know, Babylon 5, A Call to Arms was the Gamer's Choice winner at Origins in 2004. And Mongoose had released that at the same time that they did Starship Troopers, which was also an Origins Award winner, I believe. But now they're going to be cut in production. On their website, they cite the official reason of that as the fact that there's just so many models for A Call to Arms, and it is so expensive to produce all of those models that they can't afford to do it anymore. There's just so much stuff, and it's doesn't work anymore. So as of March 31st of this year, 2008, there will be no more production of these models. They're going to be taking them off the catalog. They won't be on the website anymore. You won't be able to get them. Good news is, from now until then, all A Call to Arms product will be 20% off. If you go to your friendly local gaming store, if you go online to the official MongoosePublishing.com website or whatnot, it will be 20% off all A Call to Arms product. So, you know, if you need to pick up something new that you play for the game, maybe you want to start a new fleet, the Shadows, the ISA, maybe you're really into the Earth Alliance, or you just love how the Narn ships look, well, pick up that stuff. You get it 20% off. You might as well, right? Because after then, you're not going to be able to get it anymore. Or perhaps, you know, there's just one ship you really want. Maybe you don't actually have Babylon 5, and you're thinking, well, I just never really got around to it because I play, you know, the Shadows, and why would I need that, because who knows, or whatever. So, you pick it up now, you paint it up, you assemble it, obviously, reverse the order of that, and you can put it on display, play it, whatever. I do have to say that even though the product will no longer be produced and for sale officially after that date of March 31st, you're still going to be able to get it online, obviously from things like online, you know, God, why can't I think of their names? I'm sorry. I can't think of the one I was thinking of. Bartertown, I'm sorry. You can get it from Bartertown. And I don't know why that was so elusive for me. Ooh, that's a downside of doing a podcast by yourself. Because if you have a brain freeze like that, you don't have anyone else to start talking to cover up that dead ear. And so I really do apologize for that. If I was doing this with someone else, say my friend Steve or Murph or whatever, they could be making funny jokes or giving comments, and you wouldn't have any idea that I was totally clueless for a good 5 or 10 seconds there. But after March 31st, you can definitely get the product, I would imagine, by going to Bartertown. You can go to eBay, Half.com, you know, those online resellers, or just by, you know, talking to friends. Maybe there's going to be someone who wants to get out of the game and has extra product, like myself. And, you know, you want to pick it up and you can get it at a good price. they'll probably definitely give you more than that 20% off after then. But then again, the prices might go up because, you know, you won't be able to get the product anymore. And if it's a big enough of a success of a game still after then, you know, it might be harder to get it because it's not there and it might be more costly. Even though Mongoose isn't going to be making the models anymore, they're still going to support the game. So don't think that the game is officially dead because they're going to be putting articles and stuff in their online magazine, Science Importance, and they're still going to be releasing new books and whatnot for the game, so you can still play it. Plus, one thing to keep in mind is, even if you can't buy the models, if you buy the core box of the game, it comes with a bunch of punch-out cardboard chips that represent a bunch of the different ships and other models that you would use in the game. So you can actually just use with those 2D cardboard chits and play the game on your playing surface. Not as much fun as having a fully assembled and painted fleet of models, but you know, it's better than nothing. You can still play the game. And when I first heard this, I was a little bit surprised, but not completely. I know that this game is still pretty popular in some parts of the country. It doesn't seem to be that popular up here, though. There was a lot of people who tried to get it going, and it was popular for a time up at Danger Planet in Waltham. And there was one or two Mongoose demo guys, Mongoose Infantrymen, as they were called, trying to push it down a battleground, but it never really caught on, and the game just kind of died around here. And I know other people have played it elsewhere, because Jason Coffey, he's the SWUS advisor for the Mongoose demo teams, is a big fan of B5, A Call to Arms, and he, you know, does tourneys and stuff out in the southwest, I believe it is, in out in the western part of the country. And he does these tourneys at a lot of the major cons. He's involved with KublaCon, I believe. And so that usually happens there. And he actually had some comments about this, obviously, because there's a really cool Call to Arms Yahoo group, and I'm a member of it. I like to stay up to date with this kind of stuff, even though I don't play the game anymore. But I do love Babylon 5. And in fact, I was watching season 3 of it, I believe, earlier. I just finished the episode, I think it's a Point of No Return, I believe it's called, and it's pretty cool. But he tried to discuss and explain a little bit more about why this kind of happened. I'm just going to touch on a couple of them. I don't agree with all of them myself, but I do want to give all sides of the story that I have available. Originally, a lot of distributors would ship this game way back before Mongoose even had it. Before they had it, the company called AOG had it, and they were pushing it way back in the day. And Mongoose kind of got a little bit of a backlash for it because of what AOG had done. So originally, AOG would just kind of ship the stuff to the distributors, and distributors would ship it from the back end before they would even order it from Mongoose and whatnot. But then eventually, these distributors decided that they wouldn't distribute basically the game at all unless they could have the entire range of it on consignment. And that's, you know, an expensive move to do, and no game manufacturer really wants to do anything like that. Also, Jason says that B5 is a, quote, gamer-friendly game, and, quote, not a fundraising game. He says that basically it's $2 to $4 per basic infantryman. And when he says infantryman, clearly he's talking about a basic ship, because there's no actual infantrymen in A Call to Arms, because it's space combat, not land combat. But he said that, you know, Mongoose obviously is trying to stay away from the crazy stuff as long as possible that, you know, could be overpriced, and trying to keep the fleet sizes low. So that means they're not going to be making as much money from it. He says that space combat games are hard to keep popular and on the shelf. I mean, if you've ever played Battlefleet Gothic, you know that it's not really on the shelves anymore. It's a good game. It's one of the best games I've ever played. And, you know, it was supported by one of the giants in the industry. And, you know, even they couldn't keep it afloat in the mainstream for that long. It's still out there. You can still buy it. You can still play it. But it's not the same. A big one, and this is something I actually agree with him about, is licensing costs. Babylon 5 is a huge franchise. And just paying the fees to keep the license in the name of that is huge. And, you know, there comes a time when what you're taking in doesn't meet or exceed what you're putting out. And a big part of what you're putting out are those licensing fees. So you have to rethink that. Also, according to him, he says Mongoose is going to be producing a new, quote, generic space combat game. And So they're going to still provide support, obviously, as I had said, for a call to arms. And this new game is supposed to have the same rules, mechanics, and so forth. I think this generic game is going to be Babylon 5, a call to arms, without the name Babylon 5, a call to arms. So you're going to be able to use the same ships. And they're probably going to have the same or similar stats, as long as they don't violate new copyright and intellectual property. And just going to not have the same names. I'm not sure how well that's going to do. But, you know, you'll see how that goes. And he does go on to say that there's going to be a tournament for A Call to Arms at Conquest. That's going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're going to actually have more information about that coming up in future podcasts and so forth. But that's his side of it. I want to say something of my observations that have been somewhat based on Starship Troopers. And that is Mongoose, as a company, came out strong for mini-games. And it looked like things were going well, but then they just kind of made too many mistakes. They had a lot of problems, and they couldn't fix them fast enough. There was problems with how models looked, production, distribution, on all levels, and I don't think they were really prepared for it. And they just didn't have the time to fix it and to bounce back, so they kind of lost a lot of support that they would have had they continued. You see Starship Troopers is still out there, but it's not really out there anymore. They made a new game, Battlefield, Evolution, and supposedly Starship Troopers Evolution is a part of that or something, but I haven't seen anything with that. And even, you know, Battlefield Evolution seems to have kind of died, more or less, at least up here anyway. And Starship Troopers not really that popular anymore. I enjoy the game. I have a lot of, you know, models for it and whatnot. And it seems Babylon 5 is going the same way. They just put out so much stuff, and no one could keep up with it, and the demand wasn't there, but they kept on putting the stuff out, and maybe the demand existed elsewhere. I don't know, maybe other parts of the country, like in Jason Coffey's area, or up in Canada, or even other countries, maybe the demand existed there, but it didn't exist here in Eastern Mass. I can tell you that, because I would have seen it at any of the gaming stores that I have gone to, and I don't see it being played. People who had been involved with it, and people like myself who had been demo team people for it, although I demoed Starship Troopers and not B5, they don't really play it anymore. They have a hard time getting people to play it. It's no one really interested in it. And I think the game's just kind of dying. And although officially Mongoose has said that they're going to continue to support it, I think you're going to see this eventually go into the archives and not come out of that locker for quite a while. And it's a shame because Babylon 5 is a great, great sci-fi series. It has a lot of great fluff. The models, or at least some of the models, look pretty cool. Some of the older ones and the original ones, not so great, because they were using the old molds and casts that is from the prior publishing company for this. And they had to redo all the casts, which was very expensive. And I don't think they've actually redone all of the molds, which could be another reason why they're cutting production. And, you know, it's just a shame, because a lot of the stuff looked really, really cool. You got, like, the new ships, like the Drak Mothership in it. It's just pretty neat. I mean, does it compare with things put out by Privateer Press or even the new, you know, Games Workshop product? No, but, you know, neither one of those companies are doing space combat games either. I mean, Games Workshop has a BFG, but they don't do new releases for it anymore. At least Mongoose Publishing was doing new releases, and, well, they won't anymore. And it's kind of sad to see them go, but the plus side is you're going to get that 20% off, so be sure to head on over to your friendly local gaming store and pick that up because you want to support your local stores and you might want to give the game a try. Even though I think it's going to eventually die and this might be the kiss of death for it, that doesn't mean you still can't pick up the product real cheap and play with your friends. Look at Blood Bowl. Not really supported that much anymore other than, you know, online free PDFs by Games Workshop, but I know many stores down Battleground and Danger Planet, for example, they have leagues of Blood Bowl every now and then, and people still pick up the figs pretty cheap because they're not really mainstream anymore, so they get that, and a bunch of their friends get together, they have a Blood Bowl league. You can do the same with Babylon 5. You get all your stuff that you want. You can get it 20% off now and probably even a greater discount later on by doing it through third parties, and you can just get this huge collection going, enough so that you and all your friends can play and just have a lot of fun playing in your basement or wherever you have a gaming room or attic or whatnot, and just go to town. That's all I have to say about this brand new set of news for Mongoose Publishing, Babylon 5, A Call to Arms. Be interested in what you have to say about it, though. As always, We really like hearing your feedback, and you can email it to us at cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. We have a Contact Us page over at our blog. You can go to iTunes, leave a comment, or send an IM to us through AOL Instant Messenger. Our name is CW Forums, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about this. I'd love to see if Jason Coffey actually responds to this. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but I'm definitely going to send him a link to the podcast and to our article about it, and maybe get some feedback from him and see what he has to say. And maybe even Mongoose would respond. I know Alex Fennell, one of the high-ups at Mongoose, is close friends with Brian, owner of Danger Planet, and maybe you can try to get in touch with him, too, and see what they have to say, some more information. But I would love feedback not only on that, but also on the what the miniatures that we've talked about, the news with the events of Magic City Champs, the Vampire Counts, Halo Tournament every Thursday at Battleground, and our new logo, and About No Quarter, and even the song we shared with you, Title and Registration by Death Cab for Cutie. Love to hear all about that. But please send us your feedback. And as you can tell, this is the end of our show. Do definitely want to thank you for listening, because I greatly appreciate you spending this time with us and listening to the show. And whether you're new or a longtime listener, just really appreciate you taking the time to listen. And would love to hear from you, too. So I hope you had a pleasant time today, and I hope you found our podcast enjoyable. I once again just want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day, and in particular, I want to wish a very special happy Valentine's Day to my parents today, because this is their 27th wedding anniversary, and if they hadn't gotten married and, you know, had me, I wouldn't exist, so that would mean this podcast wouldn't exist, and you guys wouldn't be hearing my wonderful voice. But I do seriously want to just wish them a very happy 27th wedding anniversary. So hats off to them. And they're definitely an example for everyone to follow who wishes to get married. Because not everyone has to get married. And I will definitely be getting married. I'm, you know, engaged to my fiancée, Trisha. And I view my parents as a positive example for her and I. So congratulations. And as always, we will be coming back to you with a new podcast next Thursday. And there's going to be a new one every Thursday. That's when we give you our new cast. So you can look forward to seeing our new cast and listening to it, of course, on Thursday, February 21st, 2008. Just again, I want to thank you for listening and say that you can go to our website, which is wargamingforums.com, and you can check out our show notes for this particular episode of the podcast. We have links to everything that we've talked about and links to pictures and whatnot. That's going to be especially important because we are not doing a version of this that is enhanced. There will be no enhanced version of this episode of the podcast. So, sorry to you guys who like the enhanced podcast, but, you know, this way you can just head on over to the blog if you're so inclined. And remember to check out Comedy Forecast at comedy4cast.com. And it's a great podcast, so thanks again. See you next time, and as always, keep on gaming. Thanks. Bye.